Hi, this is James Altucher. Thank you for listening to Eric Cabral's Entrepreneur Circle.
On this episode,
the more we clone ourselves, the more people that hear your story, the more people that resonate with you, the more people that are going to reach out. Even though I'm on your podcast, which is Entrepreneurs, doesn't mean that there's somebody that doesn't need an SBA loan that's going to listen to the story. And the reason they call me is because they like my story. It's not like, hey, I can do something better than somebody else. So I think delivering that story in your content, whatever you're doing, whether you're on somebody else's platform or your own platform, is so important. Mic drop.
You have now entered the Entrepreneur Circle.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Circle, where we've built a community that shares lessons learned throughout our journeys, celebrate wins, our eureka moments, and embrace the F word, meaning failure, which I've come to realize that failure is success in progress. I'm Eric Cabral, your host, a husband, a father of two brilliant girls, and I've been called a heart-centered entrepreneur by my peers and mentors. My mission in life is to make the world a better place, one mic at a time. So I'm happy and humble to have you join in on that mission. And I hope that by the end of the show, we would have added value in your life. So if you're ready to jump into the circle, let's get to it. Hey, I'm so glad you're here because I don't often get the opportunity to share with you exactly what I do and what we do here at On Air Brands. So we help the folks in our community and our clients to launch a podcast and then produce them on a weekly basis. We also help to promote each episode with close to a dozen social media posts that consist of quote cards, sound bites, and video clips. And then we post them for you on your socials automatically. So if you're a business owner with a ton on your plate, and a podcast just seems super overwhelming, I get it. We don't need one more thing to worry about. So let me and my team at On Air Brands do the heavy lifting each week so that you can focus on what you do best, which is to build your business, have more time to pour into your family and your community, or just plain chill and recharge. So feel free to email me at eric@onairbrands.com so that we can book time together to chat about how we can align with your mission and how you can align with ours, which is to make the world better. One mic at a time. Now back to the show. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Entrepreneur Circle. I'm your most happy and humbled host, as usual, Eric Cabral. With me today, I've got a brother from another mother, a Go brother specifically, and I just want to welcome him to the show before I give you all the dirty deets on what he does and how he does. But welcome to the show, Bo Eckstein.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, brother. Long time in the making. We're always together, at least on our monthly calls and on other calls. And I'm like, man, I haven't had Bo on the show. Shame on me. But I'm so glad you're here, man, because we're going to learn a ton. But for those who don't know, Bo is a real estate guy, especially helping real estate investing professionals, all about financing their projects from ground up construction to rehabs or improvements. He covers all types of commercial and residential financing for you. So if you have any questions regarding SBA loans specifically and all other types of loans, he's your dude. He knows about lending options for you. Like I said, SBAs, HUD, multifamily lending. He's my typical go-to guy for any type of financing when it comes to specifically real estate. But then he also knows a lot about franchising, which we'll get into here as well. But thanks, Bo. You also have an amazing show on YouTube. So look out for Bo Eckstein on YouTube as well. What the name of your podcast, Bo? You want to share that?
Sure. Investor Financing Podcast.
The Investor Financing Podcast is where he's at. It's an amazing platform for him and the community there. But bro, thanks for being here again. Let's jump into it with the very first question I typically ask, which is your eureka moment in life or business that caused a major pivot or change.
All right. So actually that would be 2013. I got called to be on a TV show or to cast for a TV show, a house flipping show. And I didn't know how they found me. So when I went to the casting, I remember I looked down on the producer's clipboard and there was a printout of me on YouTube. So they found me through YouTube. So I'm like, man, this is pretty amazing that, you know, I'm here because of some random YouTube video that I wasn't even the production person on, and it was on somebody else's channel. So that was like a very big aha moment, just to show you how powerful social media can be in using these channels like YouTube and Instagram, that you never know who's looking and you never know what opportunities are right around the corner. So that was definitely a moment in time where I was like, wait a second, if they found me for this, what if I intentionally created content? And that was a game changer for my real estate lending business.
Yeah, I love that. You're speaking my language, dude, because whenever we're together, we're talking in our micro tribe about, you know, podcasting and your personal brand, online reputation, all that good stuff. Tell us a little bit more about those details, though. So is that project going on? It's still going, or that was the catalyst for creating all the things?
We did 12 episodes. We did a season for the show. Unfortunately, it didn't get picked up, not because of me, but probably because the other talent on the show wasn't as interesting. But it was fun. It was a great experience. It was a good 15 seconds of fame. And I learned a lot about the TV industry. I learned about how fake reality TV shows really are. But it was a great experience. And I always kind of wanted to be an actor. But after I did that, I said, acting is really hard. I can't remember scripts. I can't do any of this kind of stuff. So reality shows are just, you know, these beautiful house flipping shows, the before and afters, and the whole stories behind them, they're all totally garbage, because when you're a real investor, you know what the truth is.
Yeah. And they need to create drama. They need to create, you know, something engaging that, hey, let's exaggerate this particular thing.
Exactly.
Were there any sort of things that you were able to pull in terms of your experience into what you're doing now on YouTube and building your own platform, or, you know, interviewing? Is there any skill sets that you developed?
Yeah. So early on in my career, I realized the power of, like, even though I am a loan broker, let's say, the power of being a media company. And over the years, I realized I like doing media a lot more than I like doing loans. So just being a media company, the amount of deals I get, the amount of people that book appointments, like my schedule today is full of appointments, all through YouTube, and also for me guesting on podcasts. So, I mean, if you're looking for more business in whatever you do, you need to build a brand. You need to go out there and share your message, bottom line.
Wow. This is sick, dude. I didn't realize we were going to chat about this right up front. And typically, you know, I do want to get to know more about Bo behind the scenes, you know, things that you've experienced that you've brought into your business and in your life. But yeah, let's stay on this topic just because it's so important and near and dear to my heart in terms of how important social media. Can you talk about some of the struggles that I personally have, and I'm sure there's other people out there as well, is, you know, imposter syndrome and or I don't like social media. It's a dark place, which it could be, right? If you go down those rabbit holes and start arguing with people for no reason. How do you navigate through those waters and how do you distinguish, okay, this is value-added content versus me getting in the weeds, getting into arguments? Like, how do you stay safe?
Sure. So there's two types of content you really can put out. You can put out stuff that's like going to get a lot of views because it's controversial or it's doom and gloom, or you can just put out, you know, things that are factual and you can speak from your knowledge in that arena. So I choose to do factual stuff and not do doom and gloom. Like, I could have a channel that's all based on, oh my God, there's this big hotel company that just gave back 19 hotels. It was a $200 million foreclosure or deed in lieu of foreclosure, right? Talk all doom and gloom. Do I ever bring some of that into the conversations? Yes, of course. But there's people that specifically do doom and gloom and they get tons of views out of it. And they have decent money in Google AdSense and so forth. But I just bring valuable questions. Really what I started doing first is answering specific questions. What do people want to know about SBA financing? How do you really buy a deal with 0% or out of pocket? And that's what I talk about. And people who have content or intent or search intent, I should say, right? They're finding me and then they subscribe to my channel and then they, you know, I build the following that way. And then, you know, I do really well in suggested videos. So somebody's looking for SBA 504 Green program. And then I have an interview with somebody that specializes in the 504 Green. So I got really good at figuring out how I could place myself on the first page for multiple search terms within YouTube. And if you do that correctly, it's going to help your business tremendously. I can show you my Calendly appointments over the last couple of years, hundreds and hundreds of appointments, because I'm answering questions that people want to know. And then I just started, they can go to investorfinancingpodcast.com/ask. They can ask questions. I answer them as content on my show. So I do that. We bring in different subject matter experts on cost segregation, on things that can help your business, whether you're a real estate investor or a business owner. That's kind of where our channel's geared for.
Dude, I love this, man, because and this is going to be a precursor to our private conversation, to our group. It's funny because then, you know, we're going to have to figure out what else we could share there. But let's take it a few steps back, Bo, in terms of when you first got started. So the multimedia world was open to you through the season that you did on YouTube and this show. And then you realized, oh, wait a minute, I could just do this on my own, build my own show, build my own brand. What were the early steps? Because it sounds like you unlocked a lot of codes along the way. But what was like the first code that you unlocked?
The first code is go out there and learn from people that are successful growing podcasts or YouTube channels. What are they doing? You know, how do you... So I'm learning from guys like Evan Carmichael, right? I just joined one of his groups because he's pretty smart. And so I'm just, you know, you can get in front of these people very easily, and they're going to help you along the way. They're going to share what worked for them. How Evan has 3.5 million subscribers, and he's going to go to 30 million subscribers. How he's doing that. And so if you're in high ticket sales or consulting, kind of where I am, I don't need millions of subscribers because my average transaction size is pretty large, which means I only need a few people a year to make a good living. So whatever you're doing, I think you got to reverse engineer how you can provide value to that avatar who's on YouTube searching for that answer. And that's what I do really well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So number one, find people who are doing what you want to do or have already accomplished something that you're trying to do. That's just great advice in business in general, right? But in this specific instance, someone like Evan Carmichael unlocked the code to like a massive audience, which, like you said, you only need a fraction of that, right? You don't need 30 million, right? Even 3 million is a lot. I'm a similar boat as you in terms of high ticket sales. You don't need that many, right? So then the next thing you started to do once you started to learn, what was the most effective thing? Like, was it finding the topics, the search, the keywords, and then plugging into those? Or was that later?
Yeah. So my mind works in a way where I can really target, like, okay, I know this is going to be the title, and then I back in and then I'll create the conversation, the script around that. And so I'll come up with like the top 30 videos I want to do in the next couple of weeks. Right. Cause I'll do volume. I'll do some short videos that are 2 to 5 minutes. I'll do some long interviews that are 30 or 40 minutes. Right now on YouTube, they're saying longer content is what's crushing it. If you can do 1-hour and 2-hour videos. So you're seeing a lot of the influencers transition into a longer type format. But my format is because I'm like to be found in search and answer questions. I do a combination of short and long because the more content I can plug in on those topics, I'm going to be found more in the different niches. So then I'll create videos around. I'll create videos in certain niches. So there could be an SBA 7A video. There could be an SBA 504 green loan program video. There could be a California state guaranteed loan program video. Because people who are looking for that are going to find it. So for search, you know, I'm getting probably 26% of my views from YouTube search right now. So it's a pretty good number of people that are finding me. Then I have X amount that are repeat subscribers and then suggested. And then I do some video embeds and stuff to get more people to find me. Mm-hmm. So you got to have that strategy there.
Go
back to answer your question. The most important thing is to take action and do your first video, upload it, and then do your second video, third video, fourth video. and getting in the habit of creating content and just doing it. Even if you don't want to do it, you do it, and then systematizing it. And then whether you're going to outsource the work to a company like your company, right, that can do everything for them, they just got to sit there and shoot for 30 minutes. Or if you're going to create a system where you might have a virtual assistant help you with creating thumbnails and uploading to YouTube and descriptions and stuff. So,
yeah, I love that. So far in my head, I hear, you know, find people who are doing it, learn from them, start to take the things that are working. You need to test and tweak and model, right? It's not all one size fits all, right? So that's going to take some time there. But then you personally started getting into more like the titles, the keywords, the conversions, the scripts, all those things, and then started to basically take action by recording, whether you want to or not, right? That's so key, man, because we're not always emotionally set and ready to, I got to record, but it becomes part of your marketing and sales strategy. How long would you say it took for you to see some results? Like those calls started to come in. Was it right away? I mean, did it take years?
I would tell you if it's going to take you at least 100 uploads to get traction. So if you're not willing to do 100 uploads, don't even start. Get started. Know that you're not going to get any traction for 100 uploads. I guessed on another podcast, and this guy, it took him 4,000 videos to get 5,000 subscribers, and he kept plugging away. Now he has 50,000 subscribers over 11,000 videos, and now he's got a business that's making him 40 grand a month from YouTube. So what he said is he's a bull, right? Like he has the David Goggins ability of persevering. And if you can persevere and just know that it's going to happen for you, it's going to happen for you. But most people give up. Most people give up. And I'll never give up, and I'll always create content, because one is I enjoy it. And two is like, there's nothing more gratifying for me than cloning myself. And every video I do is a salesperson. So I have over 1,000 salespeople in YouTube and video world advertising me virtually for free. And I don't think you can ever beat that anywhere. So it's amazing. And then you can take your content, this interview here, we can cut it into 30 posts of reels and things like that. So you can have a lot of micro content and then feed them into your long form content. And I think people should be doing this in whatever business you're doing. Like I've gotten good enough now, and I'm still not nearly black belt. You know, I'm maybe it goes white belt first, then you're a blue belt, then you're a purple belt, then you're a brown belt, and then you're black belt. I would say I'm probably just getting my purple belt right now. So there's so much potential out there, and that's what's exciting. Like when I get a call, so right before we went on today, for example, the guy saw a video, he scheduled a call on Calendly, and he's got a $4.5 million deal for me, right? Potential revenue is $40,000 to $50,000 on that deal, right? If it closes, right? There's variables that it might not close. But the point is that's all from a freaking YouTube video podcast.
Right.
So why aren't you doing it?
Yeah, I love it. And it's the one thing that people still don't wrap their heads around in terms of putting information out there, which is free, right? Some people still think, hey, I should be getting paid for sharing this information. But no, information is free. What you want to do is start to monetize the transformation, or people will pay for the implementation of the ideas, right? So they're coming to you. Thank you for the information. Now, how the heck can you help me execute this? You know, I need to get this done. And then that's where you come in. My question to you, though, Bo, is the next step in that. How do you ensure the percentage of the people that are you're meeting with meet the criteria? Do you have a form? Do you have a way to vet and funnel them in a systematic way, so you're talking to more the right people?
So in the beginning, I still do to this day, people can book a 15-minute call, whether they have a deal or not. And once you start getting busy, like I probably shouldn't be doing that anymore because my schedule is just filled and there's a lot of tire kickers. But I do ask them a couple questions in the beginning, and they're going to fill it out so I have an idea of what the conversations are. But over time, what you're going to do is you're going to replace, you're not going to be taking those initial calls. It's going to be your assistant, or you're having two calendars, or you're having them fill out a form before you send them the link to book a call. So then you can screen them that way. I don't do that yet, but I was on a call with Evan Carmichael, and he's like, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. He's like, there's no way. If I put my link out, I would never have a minute apiece, right? And so if you want to start growing your business, because, you know, everything comes down to time, how much time you're putting in, what's your time really worth? And if you want to increase the value of your time, you really have to be more strategic. So we were actually in our MicroTribe call, and that gentleman talked about office hours. So probably what I'll do now is, hey, if it's a general question, you can come to office hours on Thursday from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock Pacific time or whatever. And if you have a call, if you have immediate needs for financing, you can schedule a call here, right? And so once you start building that following, you can start doing that. So, you know, I also, now what I did is I rolled out like, okay, if you really want my time, you can book an hour, and it's a paid strategy or coaching call. And I'm happy to, because what I realized I was doing all this time is I'm coaching people, and I've coached people for free for years. And I'm like, I'm giving these people like millions of dollars of knowledge. And you know, although I enjoy it, I want to increase the value of my time, because I have a family, I have a dog, I have a wife. I need to spend more time with them. So I do now have they can book a call and pay me a couple hundred dollars, and I'll meet with them for an hour. So you'll start transitioning on how you want to, you know, do that for your unique business. And then, you know, then the other strategies that come along with that is like, well, you know, I'm also linked with a franchise broker, right? So we talk about how to buy a franchise, and people would come for financing. And I said, well, what if I put together a very good franchise broker team that that's helped people, right? So people schedule calls with me. I do the initial intake, and I have a whole franchise team that will help them find a franchise. So we're creating more revenue streams from the podcast, right? Just because I start one avenue doesn't mean you can't expand within that footprint. And so now I'm becoming more of a general channel, not just focused on financing, but how do you go about finding an existing business? How do you buy a franchise? And then I realized video is important. I created a mini course for people to, you know, what are the basic steps of buying a franchise? And I created a course, outsourced the whole thing, an hour of my time. Now I have a 30-minute beautifully edited mini course that people opt in, and it'll start the funnel. So you can really build upon your initial stream of whatever you're doing. So like if you're teaching people how to podcast, you could build out one funnel there, but you might have another whole funnel for something else that you do within your company. So that's the beauty of it. You can really do what you want to do. I mean, I follow a lot of YouTubers who are just giving content on like the best side hustles, right? And they have, this one guy has like 100,000 views now, or 100,000 subscribers, and he's making, you know, $200,000 a year between his affiliate sales and stuff. So you can make a livelihood if you understand the media component of wherever you are right now to where you want to go. You could be a medical courier driver, and you could do a YouTube channel on how to get started in the business, and you can build more revenue from teaching people how to do this than you could be by driving, you know, medical packages from hospital to hospital. So the sky's the limit, really. It's a very exciting time these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you share some of the challenges that people may face when it comes to, you know, you're running a business, you're an expert in certain fields, you know, especially when it comes to financing, lending, you know, franchises, starting, you know, buying a business, all those things in terms of information and staying on top of your game in those industries and niches. And then also being a multimedia type of guy where, as you know me, that's basically what I do. I have my foot in multiple pools and staying on top of all of the things. How do you manage that, you know, being both and doing both and growing both?
Well, it's not for everybody. So if you already have enough revenue coming in, I would outsource the whole thing, because it just makes more sense, right? Outsource it. You've got a seven-figure business, and you know, paying somebody to help you, that's they're gonna help you produce a much better content and better show and get a better conversion rate and a higher traffic count, right? Because I've been in social media and I study marketing, which is odd for somebody who is a loan broker. I think not everyone does. Now people are catching on. I do stuff more myself and I'm outsourcing it myself just because I've worked with virtual assistants for the last 15 years. So I had those skills. But if I was like starting over, I would just pay somebody, right? Like that's the way, who, not how. It's very clear that you got to just work with the best team. You know, that's why I pay a business coach. I meet with a business coach once a week. It's $500 a session, which is a lot of money. But I feel like I'm getting so much value out of that. So I'm going to pay $500 a session until I feel like I'm not getting an ROI. But am I growing? Yes. So same thing, right? Like if you want to start and you want to turbocharge it, you would outsource that completely. Because most people in business probably don't have the knowledge that I've studied because I've done it for 15 years. I've studied marketing. I think I could probably hold my hat with most marketers. So it's a different thing. If you're Joe Schmo and you got a $1 million business and now you want to bring it to a $3 or $4 million business, you go out and you find the best of the best that can help you produce your content and get your message out there where you're cloning yourself. And that's because your time is worth so much. It doesn't make sense for you to try to bootstrap this. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. There's something that you're pointing out here in terms of not just understanding that you have to have a team, right? Whether you build it internally or you outsource it, you know. And thanks for the plug. You know, that is what we do. And we manage the thing that people don't realize becomes a machine, right? And when you find the right team or you build your team, it's basically the systems and the administrative tasks that you're taking off your plate. Because as thought leaders, as people who are the expert in their field, that's what you and I do best, right? We want to talk about that and then give it to someone who's going to be able to just, you know, like I always say, just bake the cookies. You know, I'll just give you all the ingredients and you go bake and serve. So what's unique about you though, is you have a marketing mindset and a marketing mind, because even though there are people out there that say, oh, I'm going to create my own marketing team or I'm going to outsource it, they still need to a degree, sometimes a high level of help identifying what the heck their message is. Like we talk about this in our meetings. Mm-hmm. Like, what is your message? What are your values? What are you going to put out there? You can't talk about everything, even though you can probably do a lot of things. Talk about that. How did you figure out, okay, this is the niche. This is what I'm going all in on. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not going to talk about everything under the sun and confuse people. That's one of the things that I think you are unique compared to a lot of business owners who started their own media.
Yeah, stuff. Well, for the last 25 years, I've been arranging financing. I sell money. And but I also know, I've also been around where I put on events. And so I've studied marketing. So I'm like, okay, my channel is called Investor Financing Podcast because pretty much we talk about financing businesses and real estate investors type of deals. And then, you know, and then we started talking more about business acquisition and SBA financing. It all is the realm of like what I do. I help business owners grow, expand, and launch their businesses, right? And then over the last couple of years, I got more into SBA. So I started talking about SBA. Once I started talking about SBA and creating content around SBA, guess what happened? I get 90% of my appointments now are SBA because I specifically did that. If I wanted to talk about DSCR loans or short-term rental loans, I can do that. So you build the platform with, you know, where your main core is, and then you're going to stay in your core, but you're going to have little branches that come off that spit off different potential revenues. So I don't know. Give me an industry. I'll just back. Give me like somebody that their occupation and they're coming to you because they want to maybe start a podcast.
Yeah. Typically who we serve, you know all of them. They're investors, they're syndicators, people who are raising funds.
So yeah. So if I was raising funds in a syndicator, you know, they all do the same thing, most of them. They go out and try to get on every podcast. It's the same boring conversation. same. I had so many multifamily syndicators on my show in the beginning. I decided not to interview them anymore because they're freaking boring. Yeah, like I got started. I used to buy single family homes, and then I realized I could buy multifamily homes. And like, oh, it's great, right? I raise money, LP, GP, cost segregation. But like, you know, that conversation is old now to me. Mm-hmm. So if I was raising capital, I'd be, you know, my avatar. I'm not going on these. They're all going on the same shows, but mm-hmm. the shows they should be going on are, hey, I'm a doctor. I got into investing into multifamily and I have a podcast. Well, I'm getting on his show because his listeners are all doctors. I want doctors that have millions of dollars that need to deploy that into limited partner or LP position type of investment. So I think mm-hmm. they're not thinking correctly when they're going out and doing their research on what shows to get on. That's the big thing. Like I reached out to this gentleman. So he's got 50,000 subscribers. I talked to you about this. And I was like, hey, can I get on your show? I'd like to talk about this, this, and this. And then he made me a weekly guest. And so the point is now just from being on that show for a month, I've gotten 40 booked appointments with people looking to finance businesses, buy franchises, right? Like if I did that 10 more times, that would make me 7 figures right there a year. So it's being strategic. So why they would probably not want to go to the traditional route is because they're going to do what everybody else does. But if they come to somebody like you, you're going to say, well, let's look at the big picture. Right. Who's your real audience? How do we get in front of them? And what are they looking for online when they're searching? And that's how I think people should really go about doing it, not doing what everybody else is doing, because you're going to just get the results that everybody else is doing. So I think doing that. And then I think your conversations have to be great at the end of the day. If you're not doing short ones like I'm doing just to get views from search and get user intent, and you're just creating more of a show around really good content that people are just glued to because it's that good, then you got to really figure out about the content of the show too. I think that this all plays together. But at the end of the day, I can take any type of business and figure out how to create content around there. And I think you're seeing that more and more. I just spend a lot of time on YouTube right now, and I'll just follow people. And I love seeing their funnels. So we got one guy, he specializes in finding people's turnkey rental properties. So he'll find the deal. He'll manage the construction. And his podcast is all about buying, you know, in Nashville or Memphis, Tennessee, Section 8 rentals. And he's getting people from all around the world that want to buy these houses because he's showing the numbers, and he's getting a ton of business that way. So you can do a podcast on starting a dump hauling business. And how you did it. There's thousands and thousands of people that want to start a bit home-based business that they can crush it and quit their W-2 job. So really getting inside the head of who your channel is going to really appeal to us. I think that's the biggest mistake people make in the beginning, and they don't get traction ever, is because they're not really diving into this section. That's the most important thing.
Right. They take the advice of, you know, take action, just start recording versus actually thinking about it before, not getting caught in the analysis by paralysis, but at least making sense of who you're speaking to and putting out the content with intention of really like reaching and adding value and touching them in a way that they're like, yeah, I'm going to keep coming back to Bo. Like he's talking, he's speaking my language. You just gave me an idea where you said, syndicators, you know, tend to just all get, it becomes an echo chamber, all in the same shows. Let's get on Best Ever. Let's get on Bigger Pockets. Let's get all the stuff, right? Those are my goals. But like you said, it's just everybody's saying the same thing. It's like over and over and over. And someone like you, right, who provides a specific service around finance and helping businesses grow and acquisition and all these things. We talk about Cody Sanchez a lot, and it seems like someone like her or this other, I forget the other guy's name, but anyway, they talk about buying small businesses. They talk about, acquiring coin ops and laundromats and whatever. Someone like you is a great guest, right? Because then the audience is hearing these strategies, but they don't know the next step is talking to you, right? They don't probably have the capital to invest in something like that, and they need to find out more. So it makes sense to think like that, like, okay, where are the channels that I can kind of partner with, or who can I connect with, or how can I guest on a show where I speak to my audience, but they don't even know it yet. So I like the way you think. Any thoughts on that?
No, that's, you're 100% correct, right? Like on my Dream 100 list that I created, kind of stole that from Russell Bronson. He talks about building your dream. You know, Cody Sanchez is on that list, right? Well, whether I get on her show or not, you know, the value I'd bring to the viewers of that show is like, look, okay, you're looking at this $1 million business that's spitting off $300,000 of cash flow at the end of the day, net cash flow. But how do you finance it? Well, let me show you. We're going to get an SBA loan. It's going to cover the $900,000 of that acquisition. We're going to have the seller carry back 5% on full standby. Now you only have to come in with $50,000. Well, I don't have $50,000, Bo. Okay, well, Eric's got 50 grand to dry powder. Eric, I'm going to make you, what if you own 15% of this business? You don't have to guarantee the loan. You don't have to go on it. It should give you about this much cash flow per year. Plus, this business is probably going to be worth 2X or 3X in the next couple of years because we're going to implement all this stuff. So I just bought this business legitimately for no money down. And being able to show people how to structure these deals, what does SBA look like, look for, right? And so getting on shows like Cody's, because Cody's talking about buying boring businesses. So, yeah. So build that Dream 100 list. Not only are you building your content for your tribe, you're going to now hack other people's tribes, right? So I get on Cody's podcast. She gets, you know, she's one of the biggest influencers in the space right now by far. I get on her podcast one time. I'm going to go and take my 12,000 subscriber channel up to like 20,000 just by being on Cody's channel. So if you can do that and build that Dream 100 list and figure out how you can add value. Obviously, Cody doesn't want somebody that's not going to add value. But if she felt I could add value and I gave her the right pitch and I get on her show, just think what that will do for my business. It'll exponentially grow my business just by getting on Cody Sanchez's podcast. Yeah, so how do I get on Cody's? Who knows Cody's? You go back, then you go, okay, well, you know, this GoBro or this person knows Cody Sanchez. Let me figure out how I can get in and meet her and not sell myself in the beginning, but do it in a nonchalant way, right? Because if you're trying to just, you know, it's, hey, what's in it for me is I'm getting on your channel. I'm going to like hack it and make tons of money by helping. That's the total wrong way of going about it. But I think there's huge opportunities. Yeah. If you can be a good facilitator of getting on shows, it's a way to like 10X growth really quickly because you're going to build following on your podcast. You're going to sell your widgets or whatever your widgets are. So hacking other people's channels and getting on the right channel. So I was telling you in my journey, I was going on Podmatch and I was getting all these people on my show. And I'm like, but is this really what I'm trying to do on my show? And it's not. Mm-hmm. And so you got to be selective who you have on your show and who shows you get on. Yep. And the more audiences, the more stages I get on, the more I grow. So it's a good thing to get on podcasts. And sometimes you get on podcasts and you're like, oh, this guy doesn't really have a huge following. But that's okay because there might be 5 or 6 people that hear that message and then 2 people reach out and then I help somebody. So over time, this is going to exponentially grow because more people know who Bo Eckstein is. And that's what I want. I want people to think of like, hey, I need SBA financing. I need a solution. I need to buy a franchise. I need to work with somebody on Bo's team. I have these questions, you know, and then what I've done is just added value. So I started an expense reduction company because I saw that all these business owners I was working with didn't understand how to get the benefits of cost segregation. So I've like, our platform has like referral partners for cost segregation companies for WOTC tax credits. We have a platform where we put people on our tax management software. I didn't build it. I'm just a partner with the company. And you put in your data about your company and it says, oh, well, you know, between all your tax credits, it looks like there's $1 million of potential incentives that you can get. So we have all this available. So I learned that I'm just providing value to people and letting them know that they can, you know, they can buy another business, they can grow their business, they can start a business, they can save a bunch of money. And this is how they do it. And because I've searched out all this knowledge and have all these partners, I can like, when somebody books a call with me, I'll solve their problem. And even if sometimes I don't even do their loan, and I just say, hey, reach out to your local credit union. Here's how you want to structure this deal. It's too small. Like it's 300 grand. It's going to be too small of a loan for me. I always tell people, listen, book a call with me and I'm going to give you practical advice to help. And that's what I do. And sometimes the problem is that my 15-minute conversations end up being an hour. And I'm like, no, I can't be doing this so far.
Yeah. I totally get that. A couple things I want to share before we get into the final segments of the show. So you mentioned getting on small podcasts. I think that we're doing ourselves a disservice by looking at people's numbers or even caring, because it's also, if you view it as practice runs for you before you get on bigger stages. So I had the fortune of getting onto one of the Bigger Pockets podcasts early on. I don't think I was ready for it, Bo. And I didn't do 100 small podcasts before I got on that one. And I think the benefit is get on these podcasts that, you know, you don't really know if it's a big show, and it doesn't matter because you're practicing your stories, you're practicing the way you tell them, you're just getting better at it, so that when you get on the big stages, you'll crush it. The second thing, sharing your Dream 100. So you just told me Cody Sanchez, but I want to hear the 99 others, because I know Cody. She returns my texts once in a while. She used to return them all the time until she exploded. But now, you know, maybe I have to text her 3 times before she finally responds. But you never know who knows who. So if you share the Dream 100, and I need to practice this as well, someone's going to be able to connect. And if you're sharing it, like Gary Vaynerchuk's always saying, I'm going to buy the Jets. I'm going to buy the Jets. Everybody knows his mission. And there's going to be people that align with that. Do you share your Dream 100? Put it out there.
No, I'm actually just building it right now. I only have I only have like 10 on my Dream 100 right now.
Yeah, share the 10, man. So
part of my drills is going through and going, who would I, you know, where can I provide the most value, and where can I kind of, in a selfish way, where can I get the highest results? And, you know, obviously Cody Sanchez, there's other influencers in the space that I would like to get on. And so part of what I'm doing now is going, okay, because I realize that everything is so important now that I don't spin wheels, just finding building the Dream 100 is a step I should have done 2 years ago. I didn't do it. So I'm doing it now, you know, 3 years into my podcasting journey, or whatever it's been, 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Doing that now, and then just going out and doing it, and, you know, spreading the message and sharing knowledge. And that's all at the end of the day, I feel really good after I share knowledge, even if nobody calls me. I'm just like, man, I just provided so much knowledge to people, and I hope I change somebody's life.
Yeah.
If you do that enough, you're going to change a bunch of people's lives. And like I've been for years, like my friend Eric, I'm like, here, Eric, here's a course on Airbnb. He goes out and he buys 5 or 6 Airbnbs. He's grossing $60,000 a month and netting 20 something thousand a month. He just replaces his job. He goes, Bo, I had a really good year with my Airbnbs and my W-2 job. And now I got a $300,000 tax consequences. Oh, here, call my cost segregation company. Boom, saved him $200,000 in taxes that year.
Wow.
And I told him, taught him how to do taught him the benefits of accelerated depreciation and so forth.
Mm.
So that's, I'm put all this together, and that's kind of the Bo brand. That's what I do.
Yeah. Right?
And now it's just getting that message out, how I can help people. And the more people you help, the more money you make, because it's just the way the world works. So if you're not helping anybody, you're probably not making much money.
I love it, dude. Such a great mantra to have. Let's get into the final segments of the show, brother. And that one that I love is called Embracing the F Word, Meaning Failure. So any lessons learned that you can share with the audience where you fell flat on your face, but sure, you were for the better.
Yeah. So didn't go to college, got into real estate lending at like 20 years old. It was a boom and bust business. It was booming when I got in. And then I thought I was really smart, and I started buying all these houses on speculation, and they weren't cash flowing rental properties. I just said, they're going to go up $100,000 this year. I'm going to buy them. And then 2007 came around, and all of a sudden the music just stopped, and I just saw it. And I was so over leveraged at that time. I was in my late 20s. And I remember I called my mom and I was like, I'm screwed. I got $100,000 in credit card debt. I've got, you know, a couple million in loans that I can't service the debt on. And at the time, I actually had moved from Lake Tahoe I was living in Las Vegas, back where I'm here now today. But I was like, I don't know what to do. I just bought a new house in Las Vegas. She's like, you got to move back home. So I moved back. I sold what I could, foreclosed on a bunch of houses, ruined my credit. Ruined my self-esteem for a long time, ruined my confidence. And, I didn't have anything to back. All I knew was real estate and real estate sales and lending. And So I moved back to the Bay Area where I grew up, and I was like, man, I was so humbled. I mean, a lot of people got humbled during that time, but I was like, man, I thought I was so smart. I thought I was like, and I went from being that 20-year-old that was way ahead of all my friends that I, you know, all the kids that went to college, and then I fell way behind. And so to this day, I still have baggage that I, you know, I failed, right? And now you have these underlying, I call them catalytic converters, kind of like in a car, kind of keeps you from really stepping on the gas and going full speed. So you know, over the last many years, you had to just work through. And so how do you work through when you fail? You just figure out why you failed, and you figured out that, like, just because I failed once or twice doesn't mean I'm going to fail again. Or even if I fail again, what does it really matter? Because you're only going to lose if you stop because you failed. Like, you can just get right back up and go again, right? Like, I remember in eighth grade, I would have been a really good wrestler. I wrestled a little bit when I was younger. And in eighth grade, I beat everybody. And I wasn't even that trained. I was just really strong and good naturally. I wrestled this kid, and this is a story that still sticks with me. I wrestled this kid before I wrestled him, but he had the reputation of being the baddest mother out there, right? Like, he was just, for an eighth grader, he was just stacked. And so before I even stepped on the mat, I was defeated. He basically picked me up and cradled me and pinned me in like 20 seconds. And I always think, when I go back to that point, I go, if I wasn't intimidated to start with, if I was just another wrestling match, would I have at least not gotten pinned, or maybe gotten pinned 3 minutes into the round, or maybe would I have even maybe stood my ground? I had lost the minute I stepped my foot on that mat that day. And I always think back to that. Like, could I have done much better? I can almost guarantee I would have, right? I was already defeated. And so I just try not to be defeated anymore. I still go through phases where you're a little bit defeated, right? I still, even things that happened to me as a child, we still hold as baggage. We don't realize we do. We all have these things in our lives of baggage. And that's why I always tell people that you should invest in getting a business coach or performance coach, because if you want to get better, everybody's got a coach. The Michael Jordans of the world, they all had coaches. They all had coaches. They all have people that help them that can improve them. So, like, if you just realize that it's okay to spend $500 an hour for coaching because it's worth it, and that $24,000 or whatever it is I spend in a year on this business coach, that's going to pay dividends. It's going to pay dividends, right? It's going to pay way more ROI, and you might not see it right away. See, most people say, "Oh, I just can't. It doesn't make sense." Like my friend, just kind of rounding the story out. He was like, "Hey, I want to get your coach," and he does very well financially. And he's like, the other day, he's like, "Hey, I just don't think it's feasible for me to spend, you know, $2,200 whatever a month in coaching," and he can easily afford it. And I'm like, "That's fine." He's like, "All I really need to do is like stop drinking and like you know, wake up early, right?" And that was what he said. And I didn't argue with him, but the reality of it is like, you have right now, you have a closed mindset because you're thinking like that's all you need. He needs way more coaching than that. And he just doesn't realize that yet. And the faster you realize that, the larger you can grow. And we all have our own journeys. The last thing I'll add to this is like, we all have our own journeys. And just because there's like, you know, you see people that just all of a sudden become these, they didn't all of a sudden, they worked their way, but in like 3 years time, they just became this huge monster social media person. I'm stopping to judge myself against those people and say, yeah, I'm happy. I have 12,000 subscribers. I have millions of views on my social platforms collectively. And that's a pretty amazing accomplishment. So celebrating your wins is more important than celebrating your failures, but you should do a combination of both. And that was kind of like the premise of it. Sometimes you got to stop and say, you know what? I'm proud of myself that I did the first 100 uploads of this YouTube channel, because now I've done 1,000. And I should acknowledge that I've done 1,000 uploads, and I should acknowledge that my next goal is to get to 10,000 uploads and then 20,000. Cause going back to, I coined this from Pace Morby. Actually, he talked about like every video he does is a clone of himself, right? It's so true. The more we clone ourselves, the more people that hear your story, the more people that resonate with you, the more people that are going to reach out, even though I'm on your podcast, which is Entrepreneurs, doesn't mean that there's somebody that doesn't need an SBA loan that's going to listen to the story. And the reason they call me is because they like my story. It's not like, hey, I can do something better than somebody else. So I think delivering that story in your content, whatever you're doing, whether you're on somebody else's platform or your own platform, is so important. Mic drop.
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Yeah, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do a second mic drop. But yes, I love the idea, you know, whether it's a podcast, you know, audio was the shit back in the day, still is. But yes, video is way more important, way more powerful. No way to build trust faster than for people to not only hear you, but to see you, especially consistently over time, the way you're doing it, the way we do it. But anyway, brother, thanks for sharing all the wonderful ideas and strategies and how you do things. The very last question I have for you, and I also want you to share how people can get in touch with you, is in one word, how do you help people?
Expand.
Expand, but, please.
Yeah, yeah. Expand. You call me, you're looking to like do something different. You know, the avatar person. I mean, I do get entrepreneurs that already own business. Like, I get this call a lot. I'm in tech sales, or I'm a tech engineer of some sort. I make 200 grand a year. I'm super unfulfilled. I own 5 rental properties. You know, I've got 200 grand in equity in each of these properties. They're doing well, but they want to do better. They want to create legacy. And those are the people I help the most, it seems like, because I can give them, they're by nature not entrepreneurial. They want to be, but they're not. And so I think that as soon as they have a conversation with me, I unleash the entrepreneur in people.
Love it, dude. Love it. Thanks for that, man. I appreciate it so much. I appreciate you. Definitely recommending people go check out Investor Financing on YouTube. Bo is there each and every day sharing his ideas and information on how you can grow and expand. What are other ways that people can reach out to you, Bo?
Yeah, you can go to bookwithbo.com. bookwithbo.com. And that's my calendar. You get 15 minutes. So feel free to use it.
Awesome. Awesome. Looking forward to seeing and chatting with you again soon. And thanks again, brother, for sharing time with me here today.
Thanks so much. I hope I didn't talk too much today. Sometimes I do.
Absolutely not, man. Absolutely not. I appreciate you. Thanks.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.